This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. A court in Florida resumes hearings Friday on whether state lawmakers were correct to give Governor Jeb Bush the power to step into the case of Terri Schiavo. Another court had ruled that she is in a persistent vegetative state. Governor Bush ordered that she be kept alive after her husband won the right to remove her feeding tube. Bush's action was seen as a victory for protesters from anti-abortion groups and the religious right, but there is another group active in those protests, one whose members tend to come from the political left. As part of NPR's coverage this month of decisions at the end of life, NPR's Joseph Shapiro examines the views of disability civil rights activists.
Diane Coleman says Terri Schiavo scares people because she's a reminder that anyone at any time can wind up with severe brain damage. Coleman says sometimes people feel a similar fear when they see her. Even though she's an attorney who teaches college classes, flies around the country, and was on the front lines of the protests outside Schiavo's hospice. Coleman has a disease that weakens her muscles. She's used a large motorized wheelchair since she was a kid and recently started using a breathing machine at night. Sometimes even strangers on the street will come up to her and comment.
I have been told by some people throughout the course of my life that they'd rather be dead than be like me. A lot of us have experienced that.
That's one reason Coleman started a group to express the fears of many disabled people about attempts to expand a right to die, and why she named the group Not Dead Yet. But of all the reactions Coleman gets, it's the judgments of doctors that scare her the most.
And there are too many of us who've been told that we're going to be a vegetable or we're going to die soon. The fact is that doctors don't know a whole lot.
One place doctors sometimes get it wrong is judging when someone is in a persistent vegetative state. At least three studies have shown that a high number of people with that diagnosis really fall into another category, something called a minimally conscious state. That means that the person is aware and can follow some commands. But it's also common to make a mistake the other way. Doctors and family members can mistake a smile for evidence of comprehension, when in fact it's just a reflexive behavior.
Hi. What? Is it better?
That's a videotape of Terri Schiavo in her hospice room. Her head is propped up on two large pillows. Her eyes are open. Her face seems to brighten when her mother comes into the room and strokes her face.
How do you feel?
It's moments like these that convince Terri Schiavo's parents that she's not in a persistent vegetative state. The neurologist who did that exam is Dr. William Hamisfar. He says not only is Terri Schiavo conscious, she makes choices.
Oh, absolutely. She's making choices in her daily life. When I was in the room and she initially ignored me, ignored her husband, and ignored the videographer, but not her mother, that is a choice.
Diane Coleman agrees. Schiavo left no living will, but Coleman thinks she expresses her wishes in the videotaped exams.
We think that she is currently expressing a desire to live, a will to live that is frankly quite strong, and that when she makes that effort to communicate through to the best extent that she can, when she responds to the doctors who examined her or to her mother, she is showing a will to live that deserves our respect.
Perhaps the most striking part of the tape comes when Hamisfar asks Schiavo to open her eyes.
Terri, open your eyes.
And at one point she does, arching her eyebrows in an exaggerated way.
There you go, good. Good, good job, young lady, good job.
A judge looked at the same tape. He counted 105 times when Dr. Hamisfar asked Schiavo to do something. Only in a couple cases did she seem to respond. The judge came down on the side of three other doctors who also examined Schiavo. They said her noises and gestures were reflexes, not signs of consciousness. The judge said these doctors had extensive experience with patients in persistent vegetative states, and that Hamisfar did not.
The Terri Schiavo case is an extreme example of this issue.
That's Kurt Decker, who runs the National Association of Protection and Advocacy Systems. That's a national network of public attorneys who take on civil rights cases for the disabled. He says disabled people are divided over Schiavo and over end-of-life issues, which are rarely clear-cut. But Decker says there are good reasons for disabled people to feel threatened when these cases wind up in court. That's because judges have been quicker to say disabled people could end their lives. Sometimes people who were depressed about living with a disability, but who were not in a vegetative state and not terminally ill. Decker says those cases were once more common, but are rare now.
I believe 10 years ago, we would not have had the kind of public debate on Terri Schiavo and her condition that we've had so recently. I do think the general public is changing its view of people with disabilities in general, and as a result, can begin to question whether even the person with the most severe disabilities shouldn't enjoy some quality of life.
But where Decker sees progress, Diane Coleman sees a healthcare system trying to cut costs. She worries about what that means for people who have high medical bills.
I mean, we are like the canaries in the coal mine in the sense that we are on the front lines of the healthcare system every day. We have direct experience with how hard it is these days to fight for healthcare if it's not the simple routine.
In the courts and in the press, the Schiavo case is presented as a clash between controlling how one dies versus the sanctity of life. But to Coleman, it's more about money and prejudice, about a healthcare system where resources are limited, and disabled people, like herself, may get written off because of quick assumptions about the quality of their lives. Joseph Shapiro, NPR News.
Some Schiavo videos under debate are at npr.org. Tomorrow, medically accepted definitions of various states of consciousness.